need to be concerned about our friends. If we're going to have good habits and speak good words, we need to have good friends. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good morals, evil companionships corrupt good manners, depending on which version you're using there. I think all of us at each generation realize how important friends are, and those that are parents are always concerned about the friends that their children have. And sometimes some of the friends are not those that we would choose. Sometimes we get involved, not just the younger generation, but those of every generation. We get involved with people that are not really the associates that we ought to have. And we find that some of the things that are not what they ought to be begin to rub off on us. Because, as I believe it was Mark Twain said, we become a part of all we've met. And maybe there are times that we need to give up some of the so-called friends that we have had, the associates that we've had. We need to at least change some of the associations and some of the relationships that are there. But suppose a person finds himself associated with several people, and most of those people are not the kind he ought to be with all the time, or even part of the time. And so he's persuaded to do better, and so he just gives up all of those. I'm not going to go to these places anymore. I'm not going to be with these people anymore. And so he goes home and sits down and does nothing and has no friends. That's extremely dangerous. Because, you see, he's left his life empty as far as the friends are concerned. He's left it swept and clean. And there's that tendency for the temptation to take him right back where he was, or maybe into a condition that's worse. When we give up those associations that are not what they ought to be, we need to pick up the associations that are what they ought to be. And we need to develop friendship with the right kind of people. We need to associate with those that will help us to do right, and in the long run, help us to go to heaven. And I believe the Bible even points out in the life of Christ that we are in need of some very close friends. Even among the apostles, there were three of them that were with Jesus on special occasions. And there's no question but that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were extremely close to him. Maybe closer to him than almost anyone else. You and I need close friends. We need friends that are good. We need to fill our lives with friends. And especially if we have ceased some relationships that are what they ought not to be, we need to be careful that we don't leave the house empty, but that we fill our lives with friendship, with friends that are important. We've talked about habits, we've talked about words, we've talked about friends. I believe we even need to talk about our thoughts. You see, it's possible for us to have a lot of problems in the thinking process. We can think those things that are evil. Even the sin of adultery can be committed in the heart, Matthew 5:28. And to lust after something, even though the lust is not fulfilled, at least can cause a problem in the thinking process. And all of us need to be concerned about our thinking and putting away those thoughts that are not what they ought to be. Over in Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus was talking about how that what we eat is not what defiles us, but what comes from the heart is really what defiles us. In Matthew 15:18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. That's where the thinking process is. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. He's talking about thoughts there, folks, the things that occupy our thoughts. And he says we need to change that thought process if we are having thoughts that we shouldn't have. We need to get rid of them. We need to put them aside. But suppose you and I try to get rid of all the bad thoughts that we have. And we just clean up the mind and leave it clean and swept and empty. What's going to happen? What's likely to come back in? I think the text that we have tonight shows us that that which is evil is likely to come back in if we do not fill our minds with the thoughts that are good. And I'm sure that there are some of you who have thought of Philippians 4:8 as I've been making this point. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And when a person fills his heart with thoughts that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report, he'll have his heart so full that he won't have time to think about those things that are evil, those things that are lustful. For example, if we fill our thought process with thoughts that help us to look at other people and appreciate them for who they are, for their modesty and their decency and their inner beauty, as well as perhaps their outer beauty, we concentrate on those things that are good and we think thoughts about that. When we think about other people, for example, when we as men think about the wives of others, when we think in terms of what good wives they are and how wonderful they are to their husbands instead of having lustful thoughts, you see, the good thoughts drive out the bad. And when we try to think the best of other people in general, even in business, in the community, in the church, and we fill our hearts with those thoughts that are good, it's not likely that there will be room for the thoughts that are bad to rush in or to rush back in if we've ridded ourselves of them. We need to be able to put aside those things that are evil. But folks, we need to be sure that we fill our hearts and our lives with those things that are good. I want to sum up by sharing with you two passages of Scripture. One is written to the young man Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. He's talked about several things that are problems. He comes down to verse 11 in this last chapter of 1 Timothy. And he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Now on another occasion to Timothy, he said, "Flee fornication." He mentioned several things that he should get away from. Stay away from these. Flee these things. Get them out. If there's any of it in your life, get rid of it. But look at the rest of the verse. "And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." Now, laying hold on eternal life includes fleeing the things that are bad. But notice there are three positives here. Follow righteousness, fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life. And then back in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, verse 8. "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." That's getting rid of the unclean spirit. That's the idea involved. Put these things off, but look at the next verse. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Folks, there is a danger when we just concentrate on getting rid of that which is unclean and that which is evil, and we leave the house empty, swept, and clean. There is a danger that that evil will eventually rush right back in and be worse than before. But if we will fill our lives, cast out the bad habits, put in the good, cast aside the bad associations and relationships, fill your life with good friendships, good friends, put aside evil speaking, filthy communication, Let your mouth be filled with encouraging words and kind words and helpful words. Put away those lustful thoughts, but fill your mind with the thoughts that are pure and decent and honest and true. The best insurance against misbehavior is behavior. The best insurance against a life in sin is to live a life in Christ. Because if you and I fill our lives with those things that make us in the image of Him, then we will be better able to stand against those things that contradict Him. Will we live perfect lives? No. Will we still make mistakes? Yes. But we will have real problems if we leave our lives empty by casting out the evil and not fill them with that which is good. Christianity is to be lived. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. All of us need to be encouraged to give up that which conflicts with the Word of God. And maybe all of us need to do some of that. But folks, above everything, we need to be encouraged to take up service, to take up worship, to take up Christian living, and fill our lives to the brim. If you've not become a Christian, you need to start that tonight. Because you see, if you'll come and confess Christ and repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of sins, you can put away all that that's bad and be ready to do that which is good. And if as a Christian your life's not what it ought to be, take care of it. Repent and confess and pray to God. If it needs to be done in a private way, do that. If it needs to be done publicly, you need to do that. But God will forgive, and you can push out the unclean spirits, so to speak, and be ready to fill your life with worship to God and service to others. If you need to come, do so as together we stand and sing.